Hello, 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 and welcome to Drive Through HR. You are listening to the number one HR radio show on the interwebs. I am Crystal Miller. I'm your guest host today, and I'm here with Debbie Landers, who is with Connexa and IBM. They're building a smarter workforce. Debbie, how are you?
I'm great, Crystal. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here today.
That's fantastic. And we're very pleased to have you. So Debbie, let's talk a little bit about you. If someone didn't know you, who are you, what do you do, and what's going on at Connexa and the Smarter Workforce IBM?
Yeah, great. And again, it's a pleasure to be here and to have a chance to introduce myself to your audience. I've been a fan of William and the team for some time, and it's great to have a chance to be a part of this. So I am relatively new as the general manager for Connexa and Smarter Workforce at IBM. I've been doing the job for a couple of months now. I took over from Rudy Carson, who had this role within IBM after our acquisition of Connexa, and before that was the CEO of Connexa. I'm a lifetime IBMer. I joined as a child prodigy almost 30 years ago and have had a number of different roles across IBM in pretty much every functional area except sales. And the majority of my career in our data management or information management division. So I'm very excited right now about how important talent analytics is becoming. It really takes me back home to my life in data and information management. I am new to HR, but I did work on the acquisition of Connexa for 2 years before taking this, so I was able to learn a lot from the Connexa team and from the broader IBM team that is part of our overall set of capabilities that we're using to help HR with your challenges going forward. So, a relatively new role, but one where I'm having an awful lot of fun at the moment leading the overall IBM company's focus on HR and HR-related buyers.
That's awesome. So were you at the conference that they just had? I'm sorry, I wasn't there. So what was that about?
Oh, the one in Atlanta. I'm assuming you're talking about that, or I'm not sure if you're meaning HR tech, but so why don't I talk about both?
No, there was an IBM. Sorry. There was an IBM conference about work, and I don't know if that's.
Yep, that would have been our Smarter Workforce event in Atlanta, and it was actually our, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th one this year of similar. We did a whole series of them in European cities throughout the late spring and early summer. We're no dummies about when we pick our timing on doing some of this stuff, the best time of year to be in Europe. And we did a phenomenal one in Toronto, and then we just did a really large, very good one in Atlanta, which we really enjoyed. And what went on there was we spent a lot of time talking, again, about talent analytics, the hottest thing that there is in our market, but filling that story out with client stories. We had almost the whole day, I think, with exception of my keynote and a guest speaker that we had at the end. All the rest was really done by our clients telling their stories about how they're using our capabilities from talent acquisition to workforce sciences to, which includes survey and assessment to learning and performance and our consulting and moving into analytics. They were telling their stories, and it was really a great success because of that, and we really appreciate the fact that our clients are willing to share with others what they've done and not so much as commercials for us, though we love any commercial, but as real practitioners who've done unique things within their organizations that have really made a difference to their businesses through people. So that was the Atlanta event.
That's cool. Well, I saw the Twitter stream. I saw some really neat pictures coming out of that. I knew some people who came, and it looked fantastic. So you hit on
well, we'll be doing a whole bunch more of them through 2015. So maybe we can use your capabilities to push out to your listeners when we're going to be in their area, because they're free events, they're a lot of fun, and they're great learning opportunities. We'd love to have as many of you join us as possible. So if your team, Crystal, can help us to get the word out, we would be happy to have all of you come and spend a day with us.
Awesome. Well, I can only speak for me, but that sounds great. let's talk a little bit. Let's pivot for just a minute. You ended that sentence with something that I think is the goal of many, if not all, HR and talent professionals, which is to make a meaningful difference in the workplace. So from your perspective, how do you do that? I mean, you're in HR and you work with IBM, so how are you making a meaningful difference, and how can people in general that are in our profession make a real impact to work today?
Yeah, I have to laugh because, you know, a couple of occasions I've said, you know, people are a thing whose time has come, right? And it's but it really has been, I think, an unbelievable last 2, 3, 4 years around people and the opportunity for people who, or, you know, for leaders in a business to understand people and the people asset to increase their impact on the overall business. And, you know, that generally leads to HR and the communities that work closely with HR, like operations and finance and others. And, you know, if you look at most P&Ls, people cost is the most expensive item. And things to do with finding the right talent and enabling them and keeping them engaged and retaining them and so on was so often historically pushed into the back office as being just an HR function. Well, you know, recognition of that, of the importance of people on business outcomes has really, in my opinion, leapt to the front page in the last few years. In fact, it was our CEO study that our IBM Institute for Business Value did in 2012 that led us to really double down on this part of the market, invest in Kinexa from an acquisition point of view, really looking at the differentiation when we chose to buy Kinexa over other contenders out there in the market was the focus on the people, the behavioral science, the view of engagement, as well as having great technology and services offerings associated with it. So, as I said, I think people is a thing whose time has come, and HR has, I think, almost a new seat at the strategic table, and it's a great, you know, it's a great time and of opportunity, but it can be a little daunting, and it can be daunting because expectations are being set by the you know, change that's happening all around us and the speed of that change. So while our finance colleagues have had years to build up their assets and insights that are being used to really tune a company's strategy, people are turning their heads now and looking at HR and saying, okay, come and have that impact, but by the way, you know, have it done tomorrow. And have
right.
all this stuff lined up. And so the speed of change, I think, is you know, it does make it a bit daunting, but it is, I think, and I'm not from HR, right? I came from a tech background into this space and have been learning about it, but, you know, over my last 2 or 3 years of being here, I think the seat at the table and the impact that folks are now able to have from the HR chair is certainly much higher than it's been throughout the period of my career. Maybe back, you know, back before that it was stronger. But I think HR has an unbelievable opportunity right now.
No, I would tend to agree with that. And so I think what you're gearing to, or at least what I'm hearing out of this, is, you know, the insights that we're expected to have. You're right. We are expected to be able to operate at the same level that finance operates at, that marketing operates at. And we don't necessarily, or haven't traditionally, held the same tools and are just way of doing things, right? We've focused around the same general metrics of cost per hire, time to fill, you know, how long were they there? And that's interesting, but it's just really, really small data sets. So what data should we be looking at, and how do we get to it? I mean, there's a big world out there from a data perspective, but what are really the key metrics that we need to be looking at?
Yeah, so the great news, and most things, the best thing about them and the worst thing about them are their mirror image. So the news, I won't necessarily call it the best because it's obviously got two sides to it, is HR is unbelievably data rich.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of data out there, and for, you know, sometimes for regulatory reasons and other reasons, a lot of it has been kept over time. So there is a wealth of data. So that's the good news. The flip side of that, or the mirror image side of that, is that it's all kinds of different formats. A lot of it's in spreadsheets. It's all over the place. It doesn't necessarily talk to each other. It's not easy to bring forward in a cohesive fashion and so on. So there is absolutely a lot of challenge in just plain understanding what data you've got, and then to how, you know, to go about using it is a huge challenge. And then it is also doing that progression you were talking about, Crystal, of getting from that rear view looking, how did we do, into what can we and should we do, right? So the predictive and prescriptive forms of analytics. And So getting started isn't easy, but you need to not get daunted by, you know, here's all the data we've got and how to, you know, go about tackling it. We recommend an approach that we call the three P's of analytics, to look at either a project or a process, or the third P is products, but how can products go about helping you to do this? And really start, you know, kind of start with the things that are most important to your business to either understand or change, and eat the elephant one bite at a time. So you may want to look at, you know, if you're having attrition issues, you may want to start figuring out what questions you want to ask and have answers to about retention. Or you might want to start looking at what is one process that you want to engineer. So don't try to swallow the elephant all at once. Try to eat it one bite at a time. And we think that's where IBM and our capabilities can come in and help. We've got, you know, a lot of strengths in data. We've got a lot of experience in consulting in these areas around all kinds of analytical and organizational aspects. And we've got all kinds of offerings across the spectrum of analytics, whether it is that, how do you get, you know, better insight into what's happened historically and use that more effectively, or whether it's, you know, doing things like using predictive to improve your quality of hire. And we advocate doing that with the addition of our workforce sciences, behavioral sciences insights attached to it. And then the one thing we've got that no one else has out there, which is cognitive analytics that manifests itself in our Watson offerings. We have a talent insights powered by Watson, which is analytics done really in a form, you know, that thinks kind of like people. It's a huge brain, if you will, that is able to ingest absolutely massive amounts of data and do a lot of correlations within that data. We have to teach Watson about the data that it's got, but once it's got that data, it does all kinds of advanced analytics for that and provides it back to the end user. It allows the user to access them, insights from that data in a very human way, using natural language and language that understands HR, and then getting it back in very visual representations of the data that's in there. So we can help you get started, and we can help you figure out what is that strategic question you want to ask, or what is that strategic process you want to take a look at impacting with analytics. And we have the products and offerings capability, we believe, to help the HR professional get started down that analytics path. It's going to give that give you two things: those answers that your business needs from you, but also will give you back your ability to do the things you want to do in HR, because it'll no longer be around chasing those spreadsheets with the data. It'll be around how do you applying your creativity and your insight gained over the years into finding those right questions to ask, and then when you've got those insights, coming up with the creative expertise driven, so what are we going to do about it?
So I think that's awesome and really important. I'm a big fan of predictive analytics, but I also think that it is an overwhelming thing for HR, and so what you're talking about is great. But is it too big? Are we ready for it? And who needs to be looking at it? Should everyone be looking at big data, or is there a particular type of company that, you know, their size? Sorry to be a little random with my question there, but I honestly think that that's an issue right now.
I don't doubt that. And I know there's also the whole, you know, question about, you know, are we dehumanizing and things like that. But I think you have to look at it in another way, which is, do you have a choice but to start thinking about how you increase your impact on your business and do more tying of the people assets to, you know, to the core business strategy and KPIs and so on. And I don't think anybody's got that choice. So then it's that, you know, again, taking that step back and looking at, you know, what is that one question that I could ask that would really, you know, bring an aha moment to my senior team, and start to digest it in that way. And I think every company's got to do that. And again, you can start looking at, you know, how do you go about answering that particular question, rather than the, you know, what are all of the data assets I've got and how do I integrate them and how do I start, you know, that I absolutely agree with you, can be overwhelming. But I think all of us want to maximize the value of what we do and have it impact our business. And I think, again, there's an expectation being set by the wealth of data that HR's got and the importance of people to the business strategy, that it is incumbent upon all of us to figure out that one nugget that we could take to get started and go forward. And it is it is not about, you know, replacing people in this or replacing expertise and insight. It's supplementing those things with new ways of looking at the team and looking at the business.
Okay. I think it's fair. I think that there is a lot of sometimes conversation of data around data is fake because people don't know what questions they need to be asking. Like it's a matter of what do I need to solve for? I don't know. The data will tell me. Well, the data is not going to tell you what, you know, the data is only as good as the questions that you ask. So
it is, but I think, you know, again, just to go back to what we've introduced with Talent Insights powered by Watson Analytics is that's why I think it's so A, advanced, and B, advantageous for the HR community to take a look at because there's data integration required, right? Because we've got to bring all those data sources together, and an analytics tool, like you said, is only as good as the data that it's provided. So there is a data integration exercise that needs to go on in order to get the feeds into it of the data that you want to look at. But once the data is fed in, it will automatically do those correlations. So you don't have to write those big complex algorithms. You don't have to be able to write the SQL queries and so on to be able to understand what might be in there and to really, you really have to know the data in order to be able to write the SQL. And that kind of a model, you don't, once the data integration people have done it, you don't need to know the data, and you can actually access it and get correlations, and the system will recommend for you trends and things that it's seeing in the data that you should take a look at.
Oh, that's pretty fantastic, and I like hearing that. I'm actually asking a different question, though, making a different statement, but it leads into a question. So I think the problem is everyone that I've talked to anyway, progressive organizations, and even some not, but that listen to trends and whatnot, we hear a lot of big data, we need to look at data, but the data is only really only capable or as good as the questions that you try to answer with it. It's not so much about, you know, the questions that you can answer only as good as the data that you have. I guess one leads into the other. But my point is I don't think people know what they need to be getting out of data to begin with to make the data useful. So how do you solve for that?
I'm not sure I know how to solve for it yet, but I completely agree with you that the, you know, and that's what we've been saying. That's where the HR expertise and insight is going to come into play, is it's going to be about figuring out the questions that you want to ask. So what we're trying to do with the way that we're approaching analytics is allow the HR professionals to have the time and the tools to go and figure out, or the time to figure out those questions and the tools to ask them effectively. Rather than spending the time, you know, finding the data, integrating the data, figuring out what the SQL query is, you know, that sort of thing. So we want to put the power of insight back into the hands of the HR professional. So where the expertise and creativity gets applied is in that figuring out what the question is. What is the fundamental question I need to ask to help me understand how to have that business impact? Again, rather than what are the 15 spreadsheets and how do I bring them together and how do I do the math against them? So we think that's where HR experts will apply their knowledge and insight in the future, is in that figuring out the question. And that'll have to be done not standalone. It'll be done across a community of HR professionals, but it'll have to be done also with your operations community, your financial community, because in the end, the finance shows the outcome of the decisions made.
So does that mean that we're going to be looking at a different type of HR department? How is that going to actually... Before you answer that, let me reset because we're a little short on late on that. If you are just now tuning in, you are listening to Drive Through HR. I'm your guest host, Crystal Miller, and we're with Debbie Lander today of IBM. We're talking data. We're kind of geeking out on data and what it can do for your organization. So with that, Debbie, I agree with you, and I like what you're saying. It sounds like a resource. So it might take more resources or a different kind of resource than what exists in HR departments today, because a lot of HR departments are still very transactional, very much the personnel department of yesteryear. They don't necessarily want to be, but that's what they are. So can the personnel that exists within that department today handle this, or are we looking at potentially a shift in what the HR department looks like?
So first, Crystal, I'm not going to pretend I'm an expert on HR department makeup, so you get a little bit of personal opinion here versus anything
sure.
that I would consider to be well-researched, if you will. I'll caveat it with that. But I think it's going to be a little bit of a middle ground. So what we've, you know, what you had historically, again, was folks that got pushed somewhat into the back office, very transactional in nature. There was always there's always been in different pockets of that, people who want to apply a higher level of creativity and innovation and have business impact. And so, you know, not everybody that was in there was one thing or another. Obviously, everything's made up of people, so there's always a lot of variety. But it was, you know, as you said, a lot of things were very transactional and back office oriented. With this, you know, now this pressure on, you know, things being driven by data and so on, we see more and more of our customers saying, well, I'm going to have to hire data scientists, and I'm going to need more mathematicians, and I'm going to need this, and I'm going to need that, and I'm not going to be able to apply my expertise anymore. And we actually believe it needs to come back to the middle, right? So we believe that the HR department continues to need to be made up of people who care about people, who want to understand more about people, who want to think about people not as widgets, but to be equipped to enable that better decision making about the most expensive, most valuable asset they've got. So we believe the HR department of the future will be more balanced in the middle. That'll have, you know, that set of people who can keep things running, keep the team, you know, keep the people focused, but not requiring, you know, a crew of data scientists and so on, because we believe the technology, and ours in particular, is going to lead on facilitating getting those tools into the hands of the HR professional, so they don't have to be the data scientist or the SQL query writer, but really, again, be the folks that come up with those insightful questions based on their knowledge of people. So I'm not sure I answered your question again, but I think we will see that. I think we're seeing that swing of the pendulum, and we believe it's going to come back. And there is no way any of this is going to replace the need for insight and expertise that's built up in the HR community through years of work. That is absolutely needed. The analytics can only be used to enhance that. It is not a replacement.
Yeah, you said something about that, I think, on your Twitter feed earlier this month, that insights are not a replacement for good judgment. And I think that's a very, very good statement. If there's one thing, let's pivot again. If there's one thing that you would want people to know, and I mean, just this is what you're really passionate about, or you think it's critical as we go into 2015, take your pick, either way, what would that be? What would you want human resources professionals to be thinking about?
I'm probably repeating myself at this point, but
that's okay.
So I met with a human resources leader at a large company in Toronto yesterday, and she was very much dealing with this same, you know, I've got 15 things I can see that we could do a whole lot better. I know I've got these assets. I need to change this technology. And there is no doubt that this, you know, sometimes it's be careful what you ask for. This chance to be front and center in what your business is doing is adding to, you know, adding complexity to HR professionals' lives. So I think that the two things I would recommend, and maybe it's the same thing, which is really spend time trying to figure out what matters to your business, not just what would look better, what's prettier, what's easier. What really matters may, in fact, be, you know, harder and uglier, but you got to understand it. So what really is the thing in your business around people? And again, this is working with your operations organizations, your finance organizations, your CEO, your business leaders, and so on. But what are those things that really matter? What is that needle that you could help move? You're not going to do it independently, but that needle you could help move that is going to make that point of difference to your business. And then prioritize on that. And, you know, again, I believe that looking at things analytically and using the data is going to be that thing that's going to help you really get insight into the why you need to address that, how you could address it, what changes you make, how they may impact it. I think analytics will feed that. But unless you understand the question and the priority of that question and focus on it, all these other things going on are going to be distractions. So it's that combination of really getting that understanding of a thing that can move the needle and then prioritizing that above all of the other noise and all the other things that are going on around you.
Sorry, I'm just kind of digesting all of that, and I think that's fairly fair. How do you block out the noise? Because there's a lot of it, and there's a lot of people saying a lot of conflicting things about data. So, I mean, not to make this a shameless plug about IBM, but maybe that's the right answer.
Oh, I'll always make a shameless plug for IBM. I have no...
right on.
No problem.
So how do you block out the noise? No, it's all good.
Yeah.
This is a no judgment zone. Say whatever you want.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, again, it goes back to that, again, figuring out what is the one question, you know, if you're on analytics specifically, you know, what is that question you need to answer? Again, not starting from what's all the data I've got, what's the world, the universe of things I could solve, how do I solve, you know, world hunger on my way by, you know, that is too big. It is finding that, you know, that meaningful question. And then it's, I believe, finding the right partner who can help you get there. And I personally believe that's IBM. I believe that the breadth of capability we've got, the experience we've got in analytics, and you know, for me, above and beyond our Watson cognitive analytics capability that allows you to interact with the system in a natural language way that understands HR speak, understands how to correlate HR related data, and presents everything back to you in visualizations that help you tell a story, is a way to go and approach that. And we would love to talk to any of your listeners who would like to understand how to get started in that and how to use cognitive as a real differentiator. We would love to talk to you. But I think it's about figuring out what is that question you really need to answer, and then finding the right partner to help you get there and the right technology to enable it.
So who do you think that data benefits the most? Is probably there is no right answer, but looking at the scope of topics that are kind of on the table right now, where would you, if you were going to start working on data, and I know you're going to say that one question, but I still think that a lot of people have no idea what that one question needs to be. So would it be in talent acquisition or talent management? Where's data the most hot in HR right now?
Well, it's, you know, again, it depends. It depends on what a particular business is trying to achieve. Are they trying to grow? Then probably it's talent acquisition. If they're having attrition issues, it may be retention. If they're having financial issues, maybe it's compensation. So there's a whole bunch of different angles. Now, going back to Talent Insights by Watson Analytics, we have prepackaged about a few dozen, I'm not sure what the actual number is, of prepackaged questions that are commonly asked. And they really are what's my best source of hires for people who've gone on to be top performers, or what is my best job family to apply to certain roles, or when I'm looking at my recruiters, are the particular geographies where they're struggling, those sorts of things. Where am I seeing pockets of retention issues? So we have prepackaged some of those. So there are a standard set of questions, but again, picking that question is really going to depend on the makeup of an individual business, what you're trying to achieve, and what you're seeing within your workforce. There's no one answer. I thought, you know, again, with this large customer I was with yesterday, I sort of thought I, you know, heard it all over the last couple of years on the questions, and they had a whole different dynamic going on because of a change in their senior leadership and some things that had gone on in the market. They were dealing with some very, very different issues. So again, it's doing that real true business introspection and thoughtful question development from there.
That's awesome. Okay, so, and I said that's awesome, and I don't mean that. That's a great answer. And I think that is really helpful for people who don't know necessarily where to start, because data is not going to go away. And frankly, it's becoming a hotter topic in every sector of business, every industry, and every department within a company. So I think that's a really great place to start. If someone's interested in learning more, how do they find you? How do they reach out to you?
Great. So there's lots of different ways to reach out to us. I'm on Twitter. I'm on LinkedIn. You can send me a message either one of those ways. You can go on to the IBM Smarter Workforce website, and that'll provide you connections into our team. You can come to one of our events. You know, so lots and lots of different ways. And I am, I think, I hope you're hearing, very passionate about this topic. As I mentioned at the beginning, I came from our information management division, and we were building databases. We were storing this stuff and storing it all over the place. It's great to see all of that, you know, that stuff that's been built up over the years really, really being brought to the forefront and driving business value. So I'm very passionate about this topic. I think it applies in HR like nowhere else except perhaps finance. It is a chance for HR to leapfrog and really solidify that seat at the leadership table, influencing the strategy. And I do believe there's no one like IBM who can help you get there through the differentiated expertise we've got and capabilities and things like our Watson Analytics. So we would be happy to hear from any of you. So again, reach out to me on Twitter, on LinkedIn. My email is available if you want to get that from the IBM.com site, from our Smarter Workforce page, all sorts of things. We'd love to hear from you.
That's awesome. And by the way, it's really fantastic to hear you are such a passionate advocate for IBM. I think, not that you'd come on here if you weren't, but it's nice to hear it, and especially since employee advocacy is such a hot topic right now. But we are actually over time, so we're going to have you back to talk about data around that. So thank you so much, Debbie. I appreciate your time today. For everybody who's listening, we've got a great show tomorrow with Michael Vandenborg guest hosting. Debbie, thank you again. Have a great
day. Thank you, Crystal. I would love to come back, so just let me know when. Excellent. And I will be here. Thank you so much. Appreciate everybody listening.
Thanks. All right, bye-bye, guys.